This isn't my normal spot, so bear with me. Thanks. My name is Mindy Helwidge, and I have just accepted a 3-year presidency position here at the Church of the Open Arms. This is the third time I've done this, although the first time only counted for about 1.5 when I got sick and Batch took over for me, so this will be interesting. I've been a member here since 1999. I have been asked to tell some of the stories, and it is my pleasure to do just that today. But since these are all based on my memories of the events, I won't guarantee their factual accuracy. It's okay, Nancy. We were founded in 1997 by a group of people who split from the Methodist Church when Kathy McCallie refused to stop officiating same-sex unions. These courageous people met at Mayflower on Sunday afternoons at what was affectionately called Church in a Box, since all of the church belongings fit in a box and were unpacked and repacked with every service. I'm sure some of the congregations who meet here today can identify with that feeling. After some time, this group rented an old rundown theater at Northwest 13th and Hudson, which was fondly referred to as the Ghetto Church. And this is where I joined the story. I grew up going to a fairly liberal Disciples of Christ church in Edmond. I went every Sunday by requirement, and I had to wear a dress. You can imagine, as soon as I moved out as an adult, I stopped going to church, because that's what church meant to me. When I visited Open Arms for the first time, I wore jeans, and I looked around and thought, this church might need me. Little did I know at that time how much I would need you. When I went to my first worship team meeting, some of these stories you will have heard before, but some people here haven't, so I'll try to touch on some of them briefly. But when I went to my first worship team meeting, I asked why we took the communion the way we did, you know, parading up in front of everybody and dipping it in the cup. And I was used to passing it in the pews where I could stay pretty anonymous and nobody really looked at me. I was told that we did that to show our solidarity, because at that time our congregation had a large number of people infected with HIV and AIDS. And we did that to show we weren't scared of them, that we understood the disease, and that we knew how it was passed along, and that we weren't afraid to be with them and have them a part of us, truly a part of us. It was my first lesson in truly seeing each one of you, in pushing the boundaries of my thoughts just a bit more. In fact, the communion font, gurgling away over here at the end of the sanctuary, was purchased in memoriam of Richard Potts. And some of you here today may remember him, most of you probably don't. I believe he was a RAIN client as well as a member of the church. And for those of you who don't know what RAIN is, since it's been a while since that was a big thing, those were the support groups for people with HIV and AIDS. That RAIN team would be assigned to a certain person to help them in their journey. And that wasn't just us. That was a nationwide thing. My mom was a part of a RAIN team back when I was a kid, and I didn't even know that till many years later. But there are lots of things around here that remind me of our friends and their battles, some of them still here and some of them not. The beautiful stained glass windows you see behind us were purchased with monies from Michelle Worth's family. Michelle Worth was a member of our congregation for many years. I believe she was a charter member, but I'm not sure. She was the first transgender person I knew. Before she was Michelle, she was Michael. She was a chemistry professor. And it was my first encounter in learning, again, to push my boundary and come a little closer. And her family realized what a value this congregation was for Michelle. And so they purchased these. Kathy had them designed by a stained glass maker out, I believe near Cashin. As you can see, they encompass the four elements: earth, wind, water, and fire. We have some beautiful mirrors out in the foyer and in the bathroom, these beautiful, great big mirrors. Those were purchased in honor of Victor Gorin's dad. His family helped us with that. The communion table, many of you may not know, but when we moved into this space, we were stretching our every possibility to make this space happen. Everything had to be renovated. There were pews in here all facing the front. The carpet was red. The foyer was red. All the tiles had to be replaced. All the ceiling tiles throughout the building had to be replaced. It was a big deal. So we weren't just borrowing money to buy the building. We were borrowing money to renovate. This table was purchased and made for us by Mayflower Congregational Church. The grand piano that Megan plays so beautifully on every Sunday was donated anonymously to our congregation. Yes. Yeah, somebody who really felt like we could use a grand piano here, and it's wonderful. A few highlights over the years in knowing our heritage, and I won't try to quote years because I'm not even sure on most of them. We used to have a regular basis. We had what was called a conference. It was a weekend conference where there were many classes held, but it was called Homosexuality in Scripture. And the main concept of the conference was to get people from all walks of life to come and get engaged in classrooms where we talked about things from transgender to homosexuality issues to marriage to legal issues among people of the same sex, all the kinds of issues that, of course, come up with that. But the main goal was to help people with the clobber passages. If you don't know what the clobber passages are, they are the scriptures in the Bible that many Christians use to clobber people over the head for being gay. And so with a greater understanding and knowledge of where those scriptures came from, people who get hit with those are better able to defend themselves. And even if you don't need to feel a need to defend yourself, because you know. And all you can feel is that, well, maybe they just don't know yet. And it gives you a bit of self-esteem and not feeling like you have to just take that. We've had a woman named Clara Looper who has spoken in our pulpit a few times. Clara Looper, if you don't know who that is, there's actually a documentary made of her today. She died, I think, a couple of years ago, a year or two years ago. But she was the leader of the civil rights movement here in Oklahoma City, led the sit-ins for the civil rights movement back in those days. And she was an avid advocate when that kind of shifted over more into gay and lesbian, transgender, and bisexual issues. There was one year when the church that the Martin Luther King parade starts at, where all the stuff happens inside the church, you know, all the speakers, all the ministers, all that stuff happens inside the church, and then the parade steps off right in front of that church. It's a church in downtown Oklahoma City where Martin Luther King himself has spoken before. And so this particular year, this particular church building had been bought by another church congregation, and their words were that they did not want to have lesbians, gays, or women speaking in their pulpit. We were welcome to have the services there, but they didn't want that to happen. So it was decided by the powers that be that the opening ceremonies would be held down the street. It was literally down the street. It was a hill down the street about a block away from that church and the step-off point. So here's everybody at the step-off point all getting ready to go, and here's this small group of people down at the bottom of the hill. There's a stage, and there's speakers and chairs. And when I got there, they were having an interfaith prayer where they had probably 7 to 10 different ministers all standing up there in a semicircle from different backgrounds and different religions, and each one said a short prayer to begin the ceremonies. And then Clara Looper got up. And if you knew Clara Looper at all, she was not a very patient woman, and she was not very mildly spoken. And so she started talking. And she was pacing back and forth across the stage, just riled up, telling us that we had been like a bunch of cattle herded down the street because they didn't want our lesbian and gay friends in their church. And the more she talked, the more the crowd got riled up. And there was maybe 30 people down there. It wasn't like it was a huge crowd, but we were getting pretty riled up with Clara Looper. And people just began picking up the chairs. They said, "Let's go. Let's go." And somebody picked up a speaker, somebody picked up the microphone, and we started marching up the hill with our stuff, singing "We Shall Overcome," and planted our butts right in the front of the church. It was an amazing experience to feel that allied. And I think it was about 5 years ago. I could be wrong again on the years. But there was a young man who was preyed upon down on Northwest 39th Street. He was abducted, and he was killed. And I believe the story was something about a couple of guys trying to get their badge in some elite group of supremacists. The problem came that, of course, the community was shocked. The community was hurt. The community needed to be pulled together. And this young man had, I believe he had been pretty much dumped by his family. He was living on his own in an apartment in Edmond. But his family didn't want to have anything to do with him. And of course, the community was like, well, we got to have a service for this guy. And their family was like, we're not having a service. And that service was held here, of course. And this sanctuary was packed, and the news teams were here. We had several times in our history where the news teams have been here. We've had times when we had a service when the KKK came. We had a service afterwards, and in that homosexuality and scripture conference, the KKK got a permit to parade in front of our church, and of course they didn't show up because it was too cold, and I guess sheets aren't very warm. I don't know, but. They got too cold, they didn't show up, but the whole community heard about it, and they all showed up for this service at the end. We wanted to have a service inside of belonging. People came in the community because they wanted to form a barrier around the church building to protect us, which didn't need to happen, but it was great that they wanted to do that. So, of course, we've gotten into this a few times where we've been like, okay, so the news crews are going to be back here, and if you don't want to be on the camera, then we're going to all get up and greet each other, one another, and if you don't want to be on camera, then you go sit where they can't see you, right? Because some people don't want to be outed on TV. You know, you remember the days when they had the gay pride parade on Father's Day? Hi, Dad! Gets a little awkward. So, but every time something happened in the community that had to do with injustice, whether it was racial issues or gay issues or sexuality issues or gender issues, whatever it was, the news crews always called Kathy McCallie. And then she didn't want to be the only one. So by the time they got here, there'd be, you know, 5 or 7 or 10 ministers from different churches all up here doing a news press conference right here in our sanctuary, and that happened several times. It's great to know that so many times now that's not necessary, you know. It's just so that's old news. We don't need to cover that right now. We've had sign language classes here. We've had dream interpretation classes here, which is one of my fondest memories. We even had a Sunday school class called The Gospel According to the Simpsons, and it was well-loved and well-attended. There were several summers where we had a peace camp right in this church for teens. And it was a day camp where they would come during the day and then they'd have a lock-in at the end of the week. And they would learn either peaceful ways of existing with each other in conflict, or I remember one particular year, they got a field trip every day. We took them out to go and see a different church. They went to a temple, an Islamic temple, a Jewish temple. They went to, there were 5 different places they went, different religious backgrounds, and got to hear from them what their faith teaches. And those were some really powerful events for those kids. For several years, we had a Dogs for Diversity contest, if some of you will remember those, where everybody brought their dogs, and we had little dog contests, you know, best dressed and most owner look-alike contest, and that was a lot of fun. And it also connected us some to the community. The community got to come in and enjoy some of that. One of my favorite things is that the UCC is connected to, it's a conglomeration of many churches that came together at a certain point. And one of those churches was the ones who raised the monies and defended the slaves of the Amistad. If you don't know what that is, there's a great movie about it. I'll just touch it briefly. But it had basically, the gist is that a slave ship was bringing slaves here. The slaves were able to get loose and killed all the white people on the ship and took over the ship. And then when it landed here, they were arrested because they weren't slaves yet. So they were arrested. And that church community is the one who raised the monies to defend the Amistad slaves who were then, and they won, and they got to take them back. But anyways, that money is still happening today. That fund is still turning over and turning over and turning over. And when we bought this building, that's the money that we borrowed from to buy our building. So we're connected to that, and I love that part of our background. So much, though, we talk about the past a lot, and so much has happened in the past, and I want you to feel connected with the past, whether you, this is your first Sunday here, or if you've been here longer than me, like Batch. You need to understand that these are all the things that, this is the energy that's here. This is the energy that connects us. And when we purchased this building, we hoped that we would have this building used, because there's nothing more depressing than a building that's only used one day a week or 2 days a week. And now we have just that. We have two other congregations who meet in our space, who we call this their church. We have Sisu is here helping homeless youth. While we love to help everyone who's in need, it's great when you can tie it to another cause, which is also that many of our homeless youth are LGBT. They've been kicked out or they've left because of situations regarding their inability to be together. We've had a youth in our congregation who put a bullet in his head back when we were at the ghetto church because he could not accept who he was, and he did it on Father's Day because I think he felt his father was to blame for that. So we've had a lot of hard times, we've had a lot of good times, but this stuff doesn't happen by itself, as we've talked about. You know, I could go through and list people who do way more than their share, and I don't know how they do it. Bo and Kenny, Mike and Ron, Suzanne, Gloria, Kana, the people who step into these presidency positions, they're meeting sometimes at least once a week and conversing in between to make sure everything's happening. How do these services come together? You know, you may have noticed you don't have a bulletin today. Well, part of it's because that's a hard process to make sure it all happens just in time to have a bulletin. But it's great also because it's very green not to have a bulletin since we have screens. Well, a screen today. One screen today. So anyways, these things happen. Last week we approved the new budget. And in order to hire a pastor, we have to have a reasonable budget. And so what happened is we took all the programming out of our budget and said, this is what we need to exist. We have to pay a pastor, we have to pay, you know, the office help, we have to pay the electrical bill, all these things that we have to throw together, that's the bare bones budget. And that's what got passed. And it looks reasonable because we can get that much money every year. But what it leaves out is the programs. The children's programs, the food pantry, any program that happens, the community cafe, all these things, no funding in there now for it. That's something that has to happen. And how does it happen? It happens because people have a passion for it. So what is your passion? What is the next boundary? Throughout time, first it was HIV/AIDS, and if you can imagine us as this point, and everything else kind of arcing behind it, as we push through this boundary, others start following, and then it becomes normal. And as we push through the next boundary, others start following, it becomes normal. When we started, there was only one or two churches that were open and affirming. Now you can pick what kind of service you want and go and find a church that will accept you for who you are. So what do we offer that's different? What we offer is the social justice boundary pushing that we've done since the beginning. So what's the next boundary? Where are we going now? These are the questions we have to ask. Are we on board with where we're going now? Because to me, it seems like the new issue is not about being a Christian church. It's about being a community. And some of us may be Christian. And we believe that wholeheartedly. And that's wonderful. And some of us may be Jewish. And some of us may be from an African-American background, which the church may be a totally different thing, or a Hispanic background. That's why we include Spanish in our service. That's why we include the spirituals in our service, to try and welcome anybody who wants to be a part of this. It's the extravagant welcome that keeps pushing out that boundary. So what's the new boundary? Where are we going? The things that will be funded are the things you have passion for. What you have passion for is what will happen. So I want to end my little talk. I'm going to come out here, and I'm just going to give you a little visual.